Scripture reading before us this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A great storm has swept ashore in the spiritual world, a great hurricane of eternal destruction, and it has reached us in our homes. It has swept us away, our bodies, in the current. And the Holy Spirit now looks down upon the destruction and devastation from this storm, and he looks through the ruins, and he has spotted you. He has spotted me lying face down on the shore, lying in the debris, spiritually dead. And he pulls and lifts our head up from the water, and he sees that there is no spiritual life in our lungs. And so he rushes to your side, and he breathes into you and into your soul the very breath of life. He has come to touch your dead lips with his grace through the waters of baptism and through God's saving word. And through faith in Christ, he now presses on your chest to have you inhale and receive life. And he now breathes into you that very life from God. So what is this oxygen? What is this spiritual breath that we take in from God? The breath that's in the lungs of God himself is love. It is goodness. It is mercy. It is compassion. In the same way that your physical breath is what constitutes your life, so it is with this love that is breathed in the lungs of God. It is his essence, for God is love. And the same breath that is in the lungs of God, that causes him to be alive, is in his Son. And it's the same breath that motivated him, his great love for people like you and me, lying on the shore. It is that great love that moved him to come down into this world, to be born of a virgin, to go and suffer on the cross, to be condemned and feel God's wrath for the sake of us, and to rise again. He humbled himself and put your needs ahead of his own so that you could get to enjoy heaven someday. And it's that breath in the lungs of the Son of God that caused him to do all of this. And so when this same life-giving breath now, by the work of the Holy Spirit, the same breath that's in the lungs of God, this love and mercy and compassion for you, when that now finally comes and reaches you and touches you, it produces two results. It produces inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling is through repentance, to come to see what our sins really mean before God, and to realize, by God's grace, just what our future would hold, and to understand how great our sins are before God. Inhaling the love of God causes us to have a sense of contrition inside of us, to not act so arrogant before God, and to act like this is something that doesn't matter, because it's where real life is to be found. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, then, to repent of our sins. And when this takes place and we receive the grace of God and the mercy that he has for us in Christ, by this we breathe in, we inhale the same love from the lungs of God. And our lungs now inflate, our spiritual lungs inflate with his grace. But there's also exhaling. And this is when we then take the same breath inside of us and breathe out as we humble ourselves before our fellow man, before our neighbor, to consider them and their needs and what would help them ahead of our own. The same breath and this love from God that fills our spiritual lungs now causes us to look with the same kind of compassion and mercy on others. These are the signs of spiritual life. They are the crucial signs that show that life is present, both the inhaling and the exhaling. When a paramedic comes and rushes to the side of an individual, the first thing they check for is breathing. If there's no breathing, they go through all the other indicators. But breath from the nostrils or mouth is the first sign to show whether there is life or not. And that's how it is with our Heavenly Father. When our Heavenly Father comes and looks at you and me in this world, when God comes to observe us in this world, he looks for these two activities of inhaling and exhaling, repentance and breathing in his grace in Christ, and exhaling how we treat others in our day-to-day lives. The same breath from the lungs of the Son of God that has come now to enter you and save you is the breath that he likes to see present in us. A great example of that is the time that Jesus was in the home of one of the Pharisees eating supper. And all of these people that thought they were rather good in their community were sitting there having this meal. And suddenly this woman comes in who is known for living a despicable life, known in the community. And yet in her humility now, knowing her sin, she comes before Christ in repentance and begins to cry at his feet and actually wipe his feet with her hair, a custom that would demonstrate in their day deep humility before him and appreciation for his grace. And Jesus now turns to everybody else who was there at that meal, and he points this out to them, and he says, "Her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much." It's as if he was saying, look, she's breathing. She's alive. She's breathing in repentance and breathing out this love toward me. Just look at her humility. And this is how Christ now identifies those who are truly alive, his church, his believers, his faithful in this world. He said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful." St. John describes the church this way. He says, "Everyone who loves has been born of God because God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." Now, the sinful world that we live in and the society we live in tempts us to hold our breath and attempts to suffocate us from breathing in this love of God and to think about me and what I want and what's going to make me look right before the world. And there's a self-centered, arrogant streak of pride that runs through all of us. There's a great temptation in all of us to think that we don't need this love of God. It's meaningless. Who needs it? And so the process of repentance, of breathing in the love of God and receiving the grace of Christ, this process of repentance is not something that the Christian is supposed to go through just once as they become a Christian, but it is to be a daily thing. Just like breathing needs to be regular, so it is with repentance. And by this ongoing inhaling and exhaling, we draw in the mercy and compassion of God shown us in Christ and breathe it out to our fellow man. So let us keep breathing this spiritual oxygen. Let us keep inhaling God's forgiveness of all of our sins through Christ, and let us also breathe out that same love to others. This is the Christian life. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find thy promised rest. Take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Amen.